wants us to write a story. So here we are, Kickstart 2020. Kickstart 2020. It's really interesting, you know, when you give young people a logo and say design. I had an idea of someone kicking a ball and the ball was the globe. And he came back and said, no, it needs a roar in it. And he said, come on. And I believe God wants to put a roar in your 2020. It's not just a nice tiptoeing through, but he's saying, come on, I've got some engine power. I'm a God of power, and I want to put some power underneath you to kickstart. This is not just you doing it alone. Come on, learn to ride on that glory of God. Learn to have the presence of God underneath you.
Amen.
Those of you who've heard me preach, so apologies to Southwest. I've been down to the Southwest for kickstart, and I began to prophesy, so you'll recognize some of it. But last year, I think we touched Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Remember? Can we read it? 1, 2, 3. This is a New Living Translation. 1, 2, 3. Forget all that. What does it say? Forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something
new.
Something
new.
Something
new.
See,
I have already begun.
Do you not see it?
I will
make a path through the
wilderness,
and I will create
rivers
in the
dry wasteland. Amen.
God wants to write that into your very psyche, your way of thinking, your way of being, because actually, once that really logs in you, then a lot of the pressure points begin to cease. I am doing something new.
Yes.
But we need to review and forget. We need to review and then forget. You see, I do believe that we should not let our yesterday define our tomorrow. We shouldn't let our yesterday define our tomorrow.
Yeah.
But if we're smart, we learn from it.
Come on. Yeah.
And we're smart. Yeah. God has given us intelligence. And we can look back to go further.
Yeah.
We can. Just like you precious people, Mattel, you look back and you realize, drugs is not my name.
Come on.
And you might look back and say, my history says I'm terrible at relationships. But Ricky said, no, I'm getting married. I'm into relationships. I'm going forward. God's recrafting my future. So let your visions and dreams today inspire you with a new future. Don't let the regret and the shame of yesterday downsize you. I haven't got time, but I believe that I saw this picture of people carrying backpacks of shame. If only I hadn't done. If only I hadn't done this. And some of the shames are not, oh, I had an affair or it's the little things of, if I hadn't have made that choice, maybe my life would look like this.
Mm.
And it's that shame of responsibility, etc. I want to proclaim in Jesus' name, it is finished.
Amen.
Let it go.
Yes.
It is a new day. I make all things
new.
I make all things
new.
Forget the
past. Come on.
We've got to let things go. All of us. Even when Gordon wrote the book and I was editing it, I was thinking, oh, dear Jesus, those were not our smartest moments. And there's things in there when you're navigating. And I have done 1,000 things wrong. I'm so grateful to so many in the Heart Cry team, people who've come, who I've known 20, 25, 30 years. Did Bernard Andrews, I saw you somewhere. Precious, from Watford Church. You know, regularly supported, been there, loved us. People from our church. I don't know why you've always loved us, but I'm so glad you have. Dear Paul and Catherine Hampshire, they moved to live next to me in King's Langley. We moved to Oxford, and they still love me. I am very, very grateful. So I want to give you some homework, review and forget. What are the things that you need to stubbornly, courageously, intentionally say, it is finished? What is the shame? What are the regrets? What is hemorrhaging your hope? What is hemorrhaging your hope? Because you see, I believe God wants you to review the fitness of your life.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, how fit do you feel? Body, soul, mind, spirit, being. When we, you know, we listen to our society and our culture, they're always talking about well-being, mental health. You know, the mind matters, relational stuff. And we are becoming more and more aware of what the Bible has already said, that we are fearfully, holistically, wonderfully made, and actually fitness for life and purpose depends on our finances, right, our relationships, our mental health, our physical well-being. So God will say, yeah, don't dwell in the past, but do learn from it. I want to ask you, what are the things that you know helped you go forward? What are those seasons of life? When you look back, what are those times when I was functioning at my best? I felt good. I was good. You're allowed to say that. I knew that I was sharp. I was sharp spiritually. I was good in my job place. Actually, my relationships were sweeter. What were those times? What were the things in your world at that time that helped you? When did you feel the most fit of body? When did you feel the most sharp, clear thinking of mind? When was your emotional well-being at peace, settled? When did you have that, aha, you knew it was sweet with my soul? When were you financially the least worried about money, but feeling that you were in a good place? What were the things that came together for that? What about life relationships, friendships, where you felt that they were in a good balance? Look back, review. And then I want to ask you some other questions. Maybe Claire should be doing this. This is Claire, she's our chair trustee. She's how many?
420
children she looks after for us in the school. She's an incredible educationist. Yes. I love the way she thinks. But I want to ask you, what friendships do you need to invest in further? Which are the friendships that make you sharp? Yeah. Which are the coffee times where you walk out, if you're honest, you come out and think, I feel a bit sludged. But it's more about, you know, you almost play cards and their story is worse than your story. Do you know what I mean? Oh yeah, I know how bad it is. And it gets, come on, which friendships do you need to invest in further? Because actually they upgrade you. What activities, just simple activities, do you need to do more? For those of you who know our family, we have very sad news. Our Dibbly dog. You know the dog, he's gone to heaven. And don't write to me a great theological email about it. Let me have my moments.
He's in heaven.
Absolutely.
He's totally in heaven.
Let's put it this way, he's with us no more. So what do I need to do more often?
Buy a puppy.
It's funny.
Buy a puppy.
But it's a funny thing of going for a walk.
Yeah.
This is just beat you up. So I decided, come on, be brave, go do the walk you do every day, get over it, you're a big girl, big girl pants on, just do it. So I did it, walked up, and it's been raining like mad in Oxford. So I went up, came down the track, slipped over, felt face plant in the mud, and I just lay there. He was a chocolate Labrador covered. I said, oh Dibbly, I used to shout at you for the mud, look at me. I confess I haven't been on a walk since. What financial decisions do you need to make?
Yeah.
What rhythms of spiritual life do you need to invest in to upgrade your fitness? Do you need to put a fasting time? Do you need to put a different prayer rhythm? Do you need to just go on retreat? Do you need to just grab hold of someone saying, I'm really not doing very well in my Jesus life. I need help. I know we have the privilege of working with Battelle and Kate and Mary Alice, who headed up. And I want to say, as I've just worked with them and watched their intentionality to help each other, they have like responsibles, they call that. So when they see someone not going on, actually I'm responsible to make sure that you keep going, you're walking in life. I feel that we should have that care of one another.
Right.
There is a spiritual responsibility. It matters to me that you feel good. Mm-hmm. It matters to me that your fitness of life. Yes, we will forget the former things, but we're going to go forward. So, remember, new means
new.
That is both wonderful and annoying. Because especially if you're like me, I like to know what I'm doing. I'm one of these list persons. I like to know where I'm going, craft it, design it. But when new means new, it has that horrible feeling of, I can't control this. I am a control freak. I need ministry later. But I like to know roughly. The prophetic in me likes to see, likes to understand, likes to feel. So when you are more prophetic, when you are a prayer person, you sort of think, God, you owe it to me to tell me I am a prayer person. Come on, God, tell me. And then when it's a little bit blank, you think, God, that's not fair. I should know what I'm doing. Anyone feel like this in this season? Yeah. New means new. We have never been this way before.
Come on.
We don't know what it looks like, but it is an exciting, brand new adventure where we've got to let go and let God. I believe with all my heart, we are literally standing on the edge of something so new, so revolutionary, that if the church will wake up, if we will have courage, we are going to be so utterly satisfied.
Yes.
And I believe that we are going to see the Calebs, the older people, the younger people, grandparenting and grandchildren generation, all together beholding their God in new ways, far beyond we've ever seen or asked or imagined. Ask of me, I will do more.
Amen.
What does more look like? But new means new. He wants to transform us. But I felt God say, in all the haze and the confusion of today, don't lose your ability to believe in and to see the new.
Amen.
Because when you're a control freak and a practicing, you tend to just fall back, well, this worked before. Oh, well, this should fix it. I'll just do this process. If we just sort this out, or we'll just get this done, or we'll just recobble the team like this, or this person's resigned and that person's left. Oh, well, they will do. No, new means
new.
New means
new.
Behold, I do a
new thing.
I was thinking, because we are part of Hillsong Church here in Oxford, and most of them were not alive when the sort of Toronto blessing 25 years, or if they were too young to have really noticed or been part of that world. And you think 25 years ago, you know, who would have written down and written that script for God revealing the Father's love in so many churches that we would fall off backwards and laugh on the floor? Who would have written that? New meant new. I believe God is writing something totally new for us, and it is going to take some risk. But I believe God has brought you here today to stir it up in your hearts.
Amen.
He wants to wake up that cry. Oh God, we need a new day. God spoke to me and said, I am giving you, the church, an opportunity for a landmark decade. We're not just standing in a new year. I do believe God has times and seasons.
Yeah.
And I believe he's gifting to us a shaping of a whole decade called the 2020s.
Amen.
What is going to be written about it? Yeah. Melanie Phillips, who's one of the big political editors of, I think, the Times, she wrote an article, Who Will Shape the 2020s? It's well worth Googling. And she said, interestingly, for those of you who've heard me preach, she compared it to the 1960s.
That's right.
She said the nation is in a similar place, ready to be shaped socially, economically, culturally, relationally, educationally. We are at a tipping point like the 1960s. Read it. It's a very well thought through political article. And it says we catapulted into the swinging 60s, where we zigzagged between all sorts of choices that became the undoing of much of our family and social structure. But they said, here we are again. And she, and her conclusion paragraph, who will swing the 2020s?
Come on.
Yes, amen.
Who will swing it? Come on, church, let's be the pivot point. Let's be that swinging point. We've heard the testimony of dear Luke and Ricky and Teresa and Lindsay. You know, they said, we found people who were brave enough to give us a path to talk to us about Jesus. You see, They were stoned out of their minds. 18 years of heroin, but Jesus is more than enough. We can reverse every curse of the devil if we will become Jesus' people. We can tip our nation back to God, but we've got to get working. It's time for work.
Amen.
God spoke to me and he said, this will be a landmark decade. Yeah. Just as the 1960s was the decade in the 20th century, so the 2020s will be the defining decade of the 21st century. Yeah. But God says, who is going to grasp the opportunity and craft a new way to bring a new outcome?
Come on.
Yeah.
You see, I believe God is saying, can you see outside the box?
Yeah.
Have we got so stuck in our nice little church box? Have we got stuck in our mentalities? And God is saying, no, behold, I do a
new thing.
Behold, I do a
new thing.
Can you
see it?
Can you
see it?
So I want to ask you, what are you seeing with?
Mm.
What are your eyes looking at? Are you able to see?
Yeah.
If it comes to revelation, one of the accusations or one of the challenges to the church was, you think you're okay, but my assessment is you're pretty poor, you're pretty miserable, and you're pretty blind. If I were in your place, I would be seeking God, saying, we really seriously need some eye salve. We need you to sort our eyes out because we're not seeing very well.
Yes, amen.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Help us see God.
You will notice on the invite that we put in an extra 6 to 8 p.m. today. Yes. The reason we put that 2 hours is we just thought we need to linger in the presence of God so we can see. Dear Paul Hopkinson and Jim Ware, they lead the North Devon House of Prayer. They are used to just leading times of prayer. So we've said, just lead us in a 2-hour prayer watch. They do it all the time. Mm. Let's just join them, linger in the presence of God, and ask God to take the scales off our eyes. Many of us are like the Apostle Paul, that we can't see for seeing. Can you see? You see, what the challenge is, what are your perceptions? This is a perception word.
Yeah.
What are you perceiving? Mm. You see, behold, I do a new thing. What can you see? What is your perception? What is your spiritual intuition? You see, when you get in a room like this, iron sharpens iron. We begin. How many of you know, suddenly you can see it and think, I believe it, we can do it. Then we go out and then we get the cold water, or we get the harshness of reality and we think, oh no, that was just a thing. No, this is reality. In Jesus' name, this is the real deal. This is the real God. This is the real opportunity. I believe it is time to kickstart that 2020.
Yeah, come on.
And it starts with us. Mm. I felt that God is going to do something exceptional in London. Come on, David Vincent and Suzanne and many of the others. God is going to do something for our capital city.
Come
he
on.
Is not going to leave us bereft. Yeah. I felt God say, I'm going to open the west gate of the city of London and I'm going to stir up the wealth and the entrepreneurial spirit and the crossroads of the nations. And I've forgotten Heathrow's the west.
Yeah.
Will begin to open up
Come
again
on.
And highways will be made for our God. For London is in the hands of God. I feel it's in the crucible of the hands of God. And let your fire come, O Lord.
Amen.
Do something exceptional.
Oh,
come on, let's just put on. And Father, we resist all the violence and the knife crunch. We resist all the hatreds on the city of our streets. And we ask you now to do something incredible. We ask you for the Christians on the streets who will begin to reverse the curse of the enemy. All that's going on amongst the gangs and the gang warfare. All that's become part of the culture of London. We say no in Jesus' name. We want to stand and be watchmen on the wall and ask you to turn it around. And we bless London. We bless Birmingham. We bless Manchester. We bless Liverpool. Come on, just call out some cities. We bless Bath. We bless Exeter. We bless Halifax. We bless Huddersfield. Leeds. Call the cities of our nation. God, we ask you, do something new. Change the statistics. God, you do something far more abundant. Sheffield, Lord, we ask you for our precious nations. Norwich, Canterbury, Dover. Do something new. You see, God wants to ask you, are you ready to dream again?
Come on.
Are you ready to dream again? I think many of us have a hesitancy to dream. I'm sick and tired of being disappointed. How many of you feel like that? I've had big dreams, but I can't see how in the world they would ever come into reality. And especially now, I'm this age, I'm in this position, I'm at this stage. But I know a God. Matthew 7 says, you know, come on. If your earthly father knows how to give gifts, how much more will your heavenly father, who is intrinsically the best daddy in the whole wide world, he knows all about father, how much more will your heavenly father give to those who?
Ask.
Give to those who?
Ask.
And one of the things the devil's done is he's downsized our asking. So we stop asking. How much more? We all know Ephesians 3, 20. And he will give you immeasurably. How much? Immeasurably?
More.
Immeasurably?
More.
Than all you?
Ask.
Than all you?
Ask. Ask. Think or imagine.
Think, imagine. That thinking is creative thought.
Yes.
Entrepreneurial. Blue sky thinking.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, blue sky, look into the big, look into the heavens above. You see, the devil's downsized us so much. Well, you're old, you're sick, you're useless, you're bankrupt, you're whatever, etc. What can you do? Who will listen to you? I say in Jesus' name, it is enough. It is enough. And Father, we pray that you will open up the windows of heavens. We pray that you will show us the blue skies. I pray that you will stimulate the dreamers in us. And I thank you, Father, you'll put the strategists alongside us. And you, who is a good Father, will give us more.
Yes, Lord. Receive more.
Come on, more.
Come on.
Lord, we need more. God says, come on, think big, or you'll limit me. Come on. So, Father, I pray right now you put your hand on the head of every single person to help us think big. Break all our constraints. Break all our small-mindedness. Make everything that sees the problems rather than the opportunities. God, we again and again can rehearse the but. But, oh, God, we're saying yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. We are here for you, Lord. We are here for you. We want you to do something extraordinary. We haven't got a clue because it's new.
Yes. Yes.
But we're ready for a journey. Come on, say to someone next to me, I'm ready for a journey.
Ready
I'm ready for a journey.
Come on.
I'm ready for a journey. And then you have to remember, as we begin to dream, God says, and the path will be in a
wilderness.
The path will be in a wilderness. God spoke to me so clearly. He said, Rachel, you keep trying to sort out the wilderness. Mind your own business. It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to make a path.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Awesome. Hello?
Awesome.
Say to your friend, I've got to build a path.
I've
got to build a path.
I've got to build a highway.
And you think of the scripture, Isaiah 35, and a highway will be there, a highway of holiness. Where is it? In the middle of the
wilderness.
Isaiah 40, prepare the way of the
Lord.
Prepare the way of the
Lord.
Make his path
straight
in the
wilderness.
God likes wilderness. But he said as clear as clear, mind your own business. The wilderness is not your responsibility.
Thank you.
Building the path is.
Yeah.
Come on, build a path, a highway of holiness. Make a path. You just think of how many times through, make a landing strip for the presence of God.
Yes.
Come on, hand out that leaflet. Make that contact. Talk to that person. I believe God is asking us to be both sacred in the sense of devoted to God, set aside for the purposes of God, that sacred space where we love him and missional. Yes. We are reaching out further than we ever reached before. Touching where we never thought we could touch. And the path will be in a wilderness. So God wants to ask you some questions. Where will your path be? Are you sleeping or wide awake? Are you sleeping or wide awake? Because you see, I think to build this path, we've got to be wide awake. Next slide, please. Come on. There's a crowd. Dear Reinhard Bonnke, he went to be with Jesus on December the 7th. And Gordon just has come back from his memorial. We worked with Reinhard Bonnke for 6.5 years. He was a very precious man to me. In fact, listening to the memorial service and all the things, I realised a lot of the headlines, which I thought I was clever, I stole from him. But he came over to Europe in June last year. Gordon and Helen were in Hamburg. I wasn't able to go. But he got hold of that whole room because he was saying his goodbye to everyone he'd worked with in Europe. He got hold and he said, "Wake up! Can you see the harvest of Europe?" He said, "In Africa, we have used the combine harvest and we have a blood washed Africa. But in Europe, God is giving you new tools. But the harvest is there. Wake up, wake up, wake up. 2020s will be a decade of harvest in Europe, but you must not be lazy. You must not sit down. Can you not see the harvest? There's new tools, and you will have fantastic days, and we will reap the harvest, for he's in heaven." Like he's thinking of him as part of those witnesses cheering us on, and you will be saying, "Come on, the harvest. Blood washed Europe. Wake up. Come on. I believe people can get saved.
Come on.
I believe people are hungry for Jesus. So are you awake? Can you see the cry for Jesus? The second thing, what is on your path? Are you silent or speaking? You see, I do believe this is a season to speak. Helen's going to pick this up. But I believe there's been so much intimidation. The enemy has put such a sound barrier there. And there's been such a mocking. How many of you feel that mocking? Shut up, what do you know? And we must, in Jesus' name, take authority and say, "No! I will speak of the goodness of God. I will declare all his loving kindness. This is our day." We have to, as we build that path, we are noisy. We will shout to the Lord with a joyful shout. We will applaud. In fact, when we were down in the North Devon House of Prayer, was it the leaders meeting or the Wednesday night? We just began to applaud him. And it went on and on and on. And I thought, this is incredible. There was such a heartfelt applaud for the greatness and the majesty and the bigness of God. In fact, as we began to pray for people, they began applauding. It was like a different manifestation. As the power of God came, they were just standing, applauding, 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 applauding. And I believe we need to hear the applaud of heaven. What a mighty, incredible God.
Amen.
And then the final thing, what is in your heart? Is it bones or a living force? You see, both Daniel, and I haven't got time to do this. It's a moment like this, I think, give me a week and I can download all that I've been saying. But you see, Nehemiah and Ezra were the prophets of Reformation. They were the prophets that went back to rebuild. Do you understand? So Nehemiah looked at the city and he rebuilt walls. He rejuvenated, refreshed. They are the prophets that go back to rebuild. I do not believe that we're in that day in 2020. This is a new day. New means new. We are not going to reform, renew, rebuild, refresh. That was the 1990s, the time of the prayer and thing of rebuilding. We are now in the days of the Daniel, Ezekiel prophet. What was different? They were the prophets that prophesied to the future. If you remember Daniel 7:25, it says, And he will come against you. This is the angel giving Daniel understanding of the devil's work. And he will come against you. And he will speak to you. you against the Most High. In other words, the devil has a strategy to mock God in your face. It's not the devil is mocking God about you.
Yeah.
That's Job.
Yeah.
This is like the Garden of Eden, Eve, when the devil comes to you and says, don't trust God with your future.
That's right.
God doesn't care about your future. God's not going to look after you. Go eat from those trees. Look after yourself. Because if you don't gain your own knowledge and wisdom to look after yourself, no one else will.
Yeah.
That's true. That's it.
You see, the battle of the Garden of Eden is God does not care about the future.
Yeah.
And Eve panicked and said, I need to look after myself. Ate and lost her future. But Daniel, it says, don't. He will come. The enemy is coming to accuse you about the Most High and to harass you and make you weary. And then it goes on, because he wants to change the times and your seasons and the laws decreed about you. The devil is after our future.
Yes.
You individually. You as churches, you as communities, you as a nation, us as a nation, Norway, Denmark, Moldova, all the other nations, Egypt. The devil's after our future. Daniel 10. Again, wrestle. Ezekiel, about the future. Ezekiel, what do you see? I see a disaster. I see a wilderness. I see bones. Now prophesy, breathe. Speak to the new thing.
Come on.
You see, Ezekiel is the prophet of the future.
Amen.
It's, the wilderness is not our problem. We've got to overcome that accuser.
Yes.
And we've got to start saying, it is enough now. Be quiet. We carry the word of the Lord. We are going to breathe the very life of God.
Amen.
Come on. We believe that heroin, all addictions are broken in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus,
Amen.
Don't we? If you've been on for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, Jesus is more than enough.
Amen.
Jesus breaks the power of all anxiety and mental health. He is more than enough. How many say yes? He is more than enough. Jesus is the supplier of all our needs. He can give us all we need pertaining to godliness and holiness.
Amen. Come on.
He can give us practical help. He can supply your physical needs. He can supply your financial needs. He can give children to a barren womb in Jesus' name. He breaks the power. But we've got to prophesy. And you see, we've got a bone mentality. As I was praying, I said, what was Ezekiel? Who are the bones? And he said, begin to prophesy to the prodigals.
Mm.
He said, there's so many people who've been picked with hopelessness. And if you read Ezekiel 37, verse 11, because normally we stop at verse 10, which is, and they stood up a mighty army, and it says, and Israel is saying amongst itself, we are dried up and all our hope is cut off.
Yes. Mm.
That's what makes you become a skeleton, is when the devil pickpockets your hope, pickpockets your vision, takes away everything, and you can no longer see what you should see. And he says, come on, I'll put breath on you. Come on, breathe, speak to it, open your mouth, break that sound barrier, speak in Jesus' name, because your path is going to break through. Amen.
Amen.
Should we just open our mouths and speak for a few moments? Come on, speak to some bones. Say, I speak to you, you're going to wake up. You're coming together. Everything, every bit of hopelessness. Come on, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up.
We thank you for all that you're doing in this place, Lord. We thank you for the new path.
Wake
you, Father. We prepare that place for you, and we ask that you would turn it around.
We all know Revelation 12, and it said, then I heard a loud voice. Come on.
Shouting.
Read with me. And it was?
Shouting.
Oh, come on, we could do shout. And it was?
Shouting.
You see, heaven is irritated too.
Mm.
And then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. It has come at last. Come on. Salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. The one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their breaks the power of the accuser. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And heaven shouted, listen, they're waking up. Can you hear the testimony? It's breaking.
Amen.
The accusation that has held the church for so long.
Come on.
Because usually we separate these verses. But you see, the accuser's been thrown down. Well, how? And they defeated him. Well, how?
Come on.
Come on. Yeah, it's the blood of the Lamb. But come on. We declare the goodness of God in Britain, in Norway, in Denmark, in Moldova, over our European continent, over our lives, over our homes. We declare that every power has to bow down.
Yes, amen.
Because we've got a good story.
Amen.
You see, as we begin to write these stories down, we will win. We will win. Habakkuk 2. Another prophet.
Yeah.
And the Lord says, come on, write it down on tablets.
Yeah.
You know, they had tablets in those days. Where is it? Somewhere in here. Write it down on your tablet. Run with it. This vision speaks of a future time. Do you get?
Yeah.
Come on, we've got, we are literally kick-starting for our future.
Yeah.
You see, and I believe for a long time we've got stuck as prayer movements, prophetic movements, church movements. In the Nehemiah attitude, we've got to rebuild, we've got to reform, we've got to do this. But God's saying, all change, new Ezekiel, Daniel, new Habakkuk. Can't you see the new? It's a new, it's new. Speak to your future. Different skills. It's what Ryan Hart was saying. We have used a combine harvester, but now there's new tools. What are the new tools? What is God going to craft to us? Come on, let's come into those sacred places, in those prayer rooms, and download and reload to be re-envisioned to change our world.
Yes, amen.
God says, come on, write it down. Yeah, do. And then Habakkuk's answer is, oh God, I've heard all about you. I am filled with awe. Oh God, please help us. Help us like you did yesterday. Yeah. Do it again today.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, let's say that, Father. Do it again today.
God.
Do it again in my life. Do it again through our life. Do it again in our communities. We need a new thing. I need a new thing. How many of you?
Amen.
I need a new touch of Jesus. I need a new hunger for him. I need a new understanding of his power.
Yes.
Amen.
I need new demonstrations, signs, wonders, and miracles.
Come on.
I really do believe that God is going to release the sound of miracles.
Yes.
I believe we're going to see extraordinary miracles.
I agree.
Come on.
Say yes.
Come on.
Agree.
Write it down. And I'm going to finish with this. Because this is what God says, I'm writing a story.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for partners who will co-edit with me. Because I want to write my story, which becomes history.
Come on.
You see, what you write today becomes a history. You say, come on, will you write a story with me? I'm ready to write a new story. I'm ready to write something new. I'm ready for new songs, new anthems, new sounds, new crescendos.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And will we look strange? Yes, because it's new. Is new comfortable? No, I hate it. I am a prophet. I'll prophesy all the change to you. Don't mess my world. Because I'm a control freak. I like to know where I'm going, how I'm going, but I have such a sense.
Come on.
It's new. Why don't you stand with me? Come, Holy Spirit. Just lift your hands to heaven. Do you just come, just pray. Come on, just you receive. If you need to go to the bathroom thing, feel free to do so. You don't have to, but we're just going to soak a little bit in the prayer.